You're listening to Traveling Down the Delta Blues Highway. I'm Erin Scott, otherwise known as Audio Chick. This podcast is about the blues history, music, people, and of course, traveling the Delta from Tunica to Vicksburg. You can find me where you listen to your podcasts at audiochick.net. That's chick without the K. Now, let's get on the road. This episode can be downloaded the same weekend as Clarksdale's Juke Joint Festival. Sadly, I won't be attending this year, but here is an insight of two of Mississippi's juke joints. First off, Merriam-Webster defines a juke joint as a small, inexpensive establishment for eating, drinking, or dancing to the music of a jukebox or a live band. The last episode you downloaded of Jimmy Duck Holmes, he's going to give you some insight into what is his home and considered the last of Mississippi juke joints, the Blue Front Cafe. Then we have a conversation with cookbook author Susan Puckett about her experience at Po' Monkey's before it closed, when she was writing her book, Eat, Drink, Delta.
Can you tell me a little bit about the juke joint? Because I want to do a little bit more, or a piece about the juke joint.
I was 1 year old. My mom and dad started it. They started in 1948. I was born in 47. And again, like I say, I've been in and out of here all of my life. And July 1st, 1970, my mom passed me the keys. Operation, imagine part, but now she didn't. She hung around 5 or 6 years with me to make sure I had it. You follow me? She wanted to make sure I was doing everything, not just it right, but she wanted to make sure I wasn't gonna make no serious mistakes.
Fair enough. I heard that there was there a barber shop at some point?
This would be a barber shop in the back, and also. Back in the days, my mom used to call it, the old women called it pressing clothes. And they would bring their laundry back. They would have already washed it, dried it. They would bring it to here. My mom doing a downtime during the day. They would occupy her, wasn't just sitting around doing nothing. They would occupy her. She'd iron them shirts and trousers for them. Yeah.
Multi-use is the Blue Front. Yeah. Okay.
That was back in the. I vaguely remember that was back during the 50s and 60s. Yep. And like I say, now, because of the Bitonia style of blue, the Blue Front Cafe is a magnet. Now, and also back during the 60s, this was a staple food distribution center. When the federal government would send food to communities, I remember they would have meal and flour stacked to the ceiling, and the local would come by and get it. This was a distribution center for federal food subsidies. Canned goods, flour, meal, stuff like that. But Blue Front was a distribution center. A couple of times a year, it would be so full of stuff all the way to the ceiling. It played a big part in this community other than music. And it was the information center. If you came to Bitonia looking for somebody, chances are somebody's gonna be here and know who you're looking for. And it's almost like that now. People come in and say, do you know Mr. So-and-so? I got an uncle, auntie, name, blah, blah, blah. Do you know? I put them on it.
Now, behind you, people, of course, because it's audio, can't see it. You've actually got I can't say the name because I'm finding a hard word. You've got a jukebox, and, you know, juke joints, some of them did only have jukeboxes, and now you're playing live music as well. What would you say about a juke joint at this point? You know, people are trying to define it and saying, oh, you're the last of the live or old juke joints in Mississippi, if not national.
Again, the young people, doesn't know the essence of a jib joint. You see this concrete floor? Most of the jib joints in this community, but all of them, well, it was one more, all of them is kept different, had wooden floors.
Yeah, pun monkeys.
You get me?
Well, I did go to Pong Monkeys, and we were laughing about that, because if you played pool, the locals knew how to play and put money on you,
right,
and win the money, because they knew how the ball would go, so yeah.
Now, to the locals, this was a luxury.
Yeah.
Because of that concrete flow, and when you dance, you weren't going to mess the record that was spinning, because it wasn't going to shake. The Blue Front with their luxury. Let's go to the Blue Front, man. Had a little dancing area, and most of the one like pole market, and they're different. This one have never been nothing but a juke joint. Pole market used to be a resident. Matter of fact, the guy that Willie Seabury, that's what he lived with at. But this has never been nothing but a juke joint, not a house, not a living facility. It was a juke joint.
Well, there you have it.
Yeah. And a lot of people don't understand that. You know, it was a lot of them in the community back in the day, but most of them were people to live, and they had a room set aside. They'd have a jukebox or somebody playing guitar. They had bedroom, living room, go to bed after the crowd here, but this has never been nothing but a juke joint.
And that was Jimmy Duck Holmes of the Blue Front. And now, here's my conversation a few years back with Susan Puckett about Pong Monkeys before it closed in 2016 when owner Willie Pong Monkey Seabury died. I shall say, it was an experience when you went.
I was amazed at how far it was and that you drove alone.
Well, it seemed a lot farther than it was because it's just so out in the middle of nowhere. It was actually only, I think it was only like about a 7 minute drive from Cleveland, but it felt like it was about an hour because there are no street lights, and you think you're about to drive off the face of the earth.
You're on a rock road, and yes, in the middle of nowhere, really.
Yeah.
Dark.
Yeah, but then when you get there, it all comes to life, or at least it did. But I guess since Pong Monkey has passed on, I guess there is no more Pong Monkeys, unless somebody else has taken it over.
They're talking about, yes, they're calling it one of the last juke joints.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard that they're talking about someone buying it, mm-hmm, and possibly putting it in the Smithsonian. So we should see what happens. I don't know for sure.
Yeah. Well, there's too much story and history there for it just to die, so that doesn't surprise me at all.
I loved your little bit of writing on Pong Monkeys.
Oh, well, thank you.
And the fun part of, I do not know if it was written in it, that you had to not play pool with a local.
Well, the main thing about the pool table is I just remember it was on that warped floor where the balls would just kind of roll all over the place. But it was a trip.
Yes. And now, what did Pong Monkey look like?
The main thing I remember is he had this pencil thin mustache and he always had a cigar. But he was very famous for his outfits, and he would often put on a show where he would change into these very elaborate, very colorful suits and hats. And I was very bummed that the day I came, he was just wearing his work clothes. But he was out dancing.
Dancing. It was a quiet night, it must have been.
Yeah.
Duke joints are an interesting place. So yeah. Yes, I'll have to do my research.
I'm assuming Ground Zero is still going, but Reds is in Clarksdale is also definitely a must stop.
The two juke joints we talked about are along the Blues Trail, and I hope you all have fun finding them off the beaten path. Thank you for traveling down the Delta Blues Highway. I'm Erin Scott, Audio Chick without the K. Thanks to Ray Lundy for our weekly music. Come on back and listen to the next gem.